You good to go? So I'll officially call the meeting to order at 10:02. Whatever that says. And thanks for coming. Let's do a roll call. I don't have the official list, so do you have that, Betty?
We just have like the members that sign in.
Okay, so we had everyone sign in, right? Do you have that?
Are we missing another portion of it?
Yeah, I didn't sign that.
There's another sheet up there on the table.
Yeah, I signed it.
Okay. So we'll consider the sign-in sheet the official roll call, but aside from that, why don't we go around the room and just introduce ourselves? And before we do, I wanted to first introduce to all of you, if you don't know Tom Colombo, who's my deputy at DES, and who, if the stars align properly, will be replacing me on the set aside committee. And so I wanted him to come and see what we're doing at the subcommittee level and see all the trouble Dick and I are causing and become familiar with what's going on. So if you don't know Tom, please introduce yourselves to him. And with that, can we go around?
Hey, I'm Steve King with Beacon Group in Tucson.
I'm Rick Craigle with the Arizona Lottery.
I'm Matt Miles. I work here at SPO.
Betty Austin, State Procurement Office.
Gary Hahn, DES Procurement.
Dick Monaco, Arizona Industries for the Blind.
Maggie Salazar with TCH.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Bear with Valley Life.
Thanks.
And I'm Doug Arnett with Quality Connections.
All right.
Lenora Fallo with Vision Business Products.
Okay, Tom, did you want to introduce yourself with a little brief?
Sure.
Who you are? And
yeah, well, as Jim mentioned, I'm the Deputy Assistant Director for Division of Employment Rehab Services in DES. This April I'll be with the department 25 years or doing related type activity, so I'm trying to catch up with years of service for Jim and the political arena and things like that, but definitely looking forward to this new role. I work with Dick. He reports to me in the structure that we have right now. Have had tenure with the employment rehab side for about 12 years now, so mm-hmm. Lots of background on the employment side, working also with RSA, AIB, and so those related programs.
Okay, very good. Welcome. All right, so according to today's agenda, and I spoke with Barbara this morning, I thought she was going to be able to join us. She is not able to join us today, so we'll just push ahead. We're going to talk about three items under item three discussion and possible action on each. We did, of course, consider these items previously, and so I think based on what the full committee advised, we just want to take yet another look at these and go back through them, discuss them to whatever extent necessary, and go ahead and recommend approval or not as appropriate back to the full set-aside committee. So anyone have any other thoughts on how to proceed? Good. So with that, why don't we, and I'll ask Dick to, as our leader on these policy issues, to start the discussion on item one, procedural decisions and guidelines for the state set-aside committee?
I have, basically what we've done is just to kind of recap, we had put together a long list of action items that we were going to work on when we first formed, and, one of them was the definition of fair market price. We had the definition of value added. And then we also took a look at the definition of a disability, but decided to pull back on that one because it's defined in the statute. So what we've accomplished in that particular section was that we have the definitions for fair market price and also for value added. And I believe, and I'm trying to recall, we presented those to the full committee.
Right.
Yeah, and I believe they were both accepted.
They were.
Okay.
Yes.
So procedurally, what we have to do now is that we need to kind of start to get this out there for people to follow, and some kind of bring some kind of formal process to it. And so that's going to either be through just handouts or something on the website that contains these documents and the definitions, because we're not changing the statute. Basically, we're just defining a procedure and process within the committee itself. And nothing that we've done so far that I know of is not in alignment with the statute or is in conflict with the statute. And we have to be careful with that, because we don't want to go against the statute, or else we have to go change it. So one of the questions, there. Yeah.
Do we know if anyone approached the Attorney General on that point? Anyone from DOA? Did you check with them on any of these items?
No, other than what Barbara had checked with them, you
on
know,
the
60%,
prior. Right. I was going to go through that next.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't know that I have the full answer.
Okay.
But I believe she did check with the 60%,
mm-hmm.
and as far as I could understand from our last meeting, let me say before I go on, so I just want to make the point clear, there has to be a process to find out to get whatever we're completing and the things that are yet to be done, either through the website or in some kind of a state set-aside manual, something formal, so that all of us who participate on state set-aside and those that are going to come into state set-aside in the future, we have something that we can hand them or someplace where we can direct them to see some of the changes that have been made.
Well, you know, that's what we're doing in defining our guidelines now, and in defining those guidelines, everything that we do going forward and that's passed, once, you know, I don't know if I'm jumping out of place here, because that was the next thing that was going to be coming up, as far as anything that we're doing here going forward should be put out on our
right.
website.
Right.
So that that's in the planning too.
Okay, good. And what I was going to end that part of the discussion with, and I'll turn to ADOA and say, you know, the work of the committee, and Jim, I guess I'm asking you as well, the way I view this is the work of the committee is going back to ADOA as the, you know, the assigned by statute coordinator of the program to make sure this work then gets out where it's supposed
right.
to be and in the hands of and is read and is followed and is used. I don't think, you know, that probably goes beyond.
It's part of a process that we have
yeah.
in the workings ourselves, as
so,
far as getting things out to the different agencies.
Right. So once it gets presented, approved by the committee, then ADOA has to somehow formalize
implement it.
Implement
yes.
it.
Yes.
Formalize it. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So at that point, there was presented at our prior meeting the application for certification, was it, that DOA uses?
Yeah, and we
now,
made a couple of changes.
We tweaked that a little bit, and those have all been approved. Have they been implemented?
Well, that's what we're in the process of. I was just trying to stay in order of the agenda.
No, you can.
We're
yeah,
in the process
okay.
of. We've sent a request to ASSET to allow me permission to go in and update the website. Not only the policies and the procedures. You know, the guidelines. Or anything that the other vendors or contractors want to have added to their website, as
right.
far as what they provide, it's going to be the full gamut.
Okay. So you'll have access to go in and make
mm-hmm.
changes,
and website. That's what we're in the middle of right
and,
now.
And I think that's our best tool, the best tool available to us to put all this stuff in place. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's very good.
Okay. Well, and we can jump to item two in a second. Do you want to finish up item?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the 60%. The and it kind of falls into number three, but
mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and just sort of briefly talk about it. The way I understood our discussion at the meeting, and please, anybody, you guys were all there, you know, chime in. But the way I've understood the 60% now. After having gone to the Attorney General's office, is that they gave us quite a bit of wiggle room here to interpret that 60%. And so the way I'm understanding the 60% is that when you perform a state set-aside contract, 60% of the people working on the contract are to be people who are blind or have a severe disability. Okay.
And Dick, are we working on a contract meaning direct labor? Not supervisory labor.
We're looking at direct labor, and the, for instance, the product costs and the service cost analysis is that we put together. Do a calculation to try to make sure that you're meeting the direct labor ratio before your contract is accepted and approved by the committee. So 60% is now becoming, I guess I'd use the word mandatory, in order to receive the contract. You know, there is, when we get to that form, I'll read the fine print to you, and there is a way to, if you can start it out,
phase into it,
come up to 60% very quickly, then you're probably okay as well. Okay,
makes sense.
So that's where I understand the 60% to be, and what I'd like to propose is that we probably put a, you know, in the product cost, and I better be careful what I say here, but I do mention it, but I think it probably needs, it's a standalone requirement, kind of like our definitions, that we'd add it to the fair market value and the value added, and then maybe we'd have a little explanation on the 60% ratio. And you know, I'd be happy to try to define that, but I don't have it yet. But that would be something that I think we put up there, and it's clear to everyone.
Okay, so for the purpose of this committee moving forward, do we need to, prior to the next full committee meeting, have something agreed to, or?
Yeah, I could, you know, I could do an email out to the members and just ask if everybody's okay with it, reply, and then we could go to the January meeting with something written about the 60% ratio.
Okay.
And if, frankly, it'll be modeled after the language that's used for the Ability One program. They use 75%, but it's the same language. You just substitute 60% in there and maybe change a few words. Pretty easy to do.
So process-wise, do we need to do that by vote, or do we need to do that just without objection, or how procedurally would you recommend we proceed on that?
I just think that we don't do a vote here, but we come up with
recommendations.
What the recommendations are, and then the vote comes at the actual meeting.
Yeah, so I can set it up.
Okay, so the recommendation is to move that definition forward to the set-aside full committee.
Full committee.
Okay.
Without any objection, let's proceed that.
Just one question on that, is for clarification. You're talking about the 60% now, right? And you're talking about, it says on here, may allow up to a maximum of 6 months for an agent to comply with the disabled labor ratio.
Correct.
Do we want to limit it to 6 months? I know on, you know, the federal one, you can even get to 2 years sometimes, but usually a year is not unusual. In order to phase in, especially a big project, that might mean...
Yeah, this language came from examples from other states, and that's what they used. It's certainly open for debate.
I was going to say, are you saying 6 months might be too little of time
for
them?
On a certain kind of contract might be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On a certain contract it might
be. Yeah, some of them take a while to ramp up, so there should be some type of phase-in period, much like Ability One has. And one of the other things that we always come across is what is a disability. I think that definition sometimes has always been brought into question, and in most of my meetings, you know, like someone, because they're disabled, is it any disability? Are we okay with that? So we need to understand that, because people will plug in certain disabilities to a job that may not apply, that might not be considered a disability. Like if someone's deaf and the requirement of the job isn't hearing, are we still calling that a disability for that job?
Okay, two things. One, we certainly can adjust the 6 months to a year. If no one objects to that, I don't object to it. I was using language from examples that I had available to me.
It would be a maximum of, so it could be a lesser number, so determined.
Yeah, the committee, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can change the language in there to...
12 months.
Yeah, up to 12 months for what we call a phase-in plan.
Okay.
And you guys are right. I mean, there are some projects that are so big, it takes a while to get hired the people with the skill sets that you need, and you want to get going on the contract right away, or it's required that you get going right away.
So it's a phase-in in the old people and phase-in in the new people.
Yeah, it's usually like milestones that you meet, like 20% disabled, and then by the fourth month, you're at 60 or...
Right, and that can be agreed to by the committee. I don't want to get into all that detail. You know, the second part about the definition of a disability, I think we have to go off what's in the statute. And the statutes, you know, I can read it here just for the sake of everybody being on the same page in this discussion.
Dick, excuse me, is this state statute?
This is the state statute, 412636. It's section G2. And it says, disabled individual means an individual who, because of the nature of the individual's disability, is not able to fully participate in competitive employment, and for whom specialized employment and training is necessary by a qualified nonprofit organization through the Department of Economic Security or the Department of Health Services. That's the language that's in there.
I think that kind of summarizes it. I think that's pretty safe to...
Yeah, it doesn't give much detail about the definition of it. Just says means this.
I don't think it needs to, just because it has the last line in it when it talks about DES, and it, you know, those are kind of fitting. So, you know, just so that there's not just people that are claiming disability but don't technically fall under some of the requirements, the vague requirements that are listed there in that statute.
Should we include that definition in the forms and materials that are made available and website?
That's a good idea.
Probably wouldn't hurt.
Just so everybody knows, you know, the definition that we are using is from state statute 41 dash whatever, and go ahead and include it on the forms and on the website.
Okay. Yeah, and I can update these with that. So we'll do the up to 12 months. We'll define the 60%. We'll do the up to 12 months, and then we'll start to put this definition appropriately on forms and the definition of disability and reference the statute in citing that definition. Okay.
Terrific. Any other comments or thoughts on that issue, anyone? Okay, I think that takes care of item 3.1. The next item, to allow the procurement officer to update the state set-aside website, which is currently pending. Betty, do you have a status report on that beyond what you said?
They're hopefully looking at something. I checked with them yesterday that maybe in the next couple of weeks, according to them, they're just backlogged right now. And that's all that they're saying to me.
Okay. Do they have a draft website, like a screenshot type thing that has been prepared that shows what they're planning to do?
Well, as far as I know, what it used to be, you could go into the bottom of the current website that's out there now and have a login and an access, and you can go in and say, for example, if one of the companies like TCH wanted to add an item that they currently now have out there and it wasn't on there previously, then you can go in there and update the website. But I think it's going to be, for what they're trying to do with it, it's going to be a whole different thing as far as set-aside is concerned, where you're updating the website as far as the forms that, the revised forms that we might need, as well as what the contractors or the vendors want me to include on the website as far as what they have to offer. And I've already spoken with them about it as far as what it is that we're looking for, and if you guys have any other suggestions, like we're making now as we're going through our meeting, please by all means, you know. And then it's, and anything as far as to upgrade, I feel it's something that should be brought up to the group and discussed, you know, as a group as a whole anyway.
Okay, I was thinking that if there is some sort of an outline or plan for what will be on the website, it might be good for these, all of us, to just take a look, and if we have any observations about it, not that we want to design a website by committee, I don't know how much fun that can be, but maybe we can offer some guidance that they can take or not as appropriate. So.
Okay. I will ask them.
Okay.
If they could give us a proposed outline.
Yeah. Okay. Not to delay this.
Right. Right.
Another whatever, but I think that might be helpful to be able to do. All right.
Okay.
Any other thoughts or comments about the website? Okay. So then we want to finalize the product and service cost analyses documents. Dick, do you want to go through those?
Yeah, they were the definitions for the product cost sheet and the service cost analysis were on the handouts there. The actual form itself was not, so let me just do it this way. What I've done with the form or with the definitions is everything's pretty much the same as it was last time. But I've added on the notes section is where the real changes came. Proposals are open for public inspection. You know, there was a, we were talking about confidentiality and so on, and all that we do here is under the public meeting laws. So cost analysis is technically are open to the public. They can be requested. Doesn't mean they're going to be posted anywhere, but they can be requested. And then the next statement, and we'll get into a better definition of the 60%, they're required to maintain a minimum ratio of 60% on a contract-by-contract basis. For commodity and service contracts employing three or more individuals, full-time equivalents. Two or a few must maintain a 50% disabled ratio. That is can be difficult, but again, I stole this language from others, and maybe that's open for debate. The requirement to maintain a 60% ratio across all Arizona state contracts is also required. And if the disabled ratio for this contract is below the mandate above, please provide a written plan to come into compliance, as well as the timeline to execute the plan. And the state set-aside committee may allow up to 6 months, and we'll change that to 12, up to 12 months for agency to comply with the direct labor ratio. Now, there's a lot being said there, okay? And it also implies that we're going to have a way to report on and track that. And so there are some things down the road that have to be developed related to that. And we've talked about those, but we've not put any of those, we don't have any action items currently. I think the proposals are open for public inspection, basically covers and is letting everyone know, the price proposals that you permit, that you submit may be looked at by other people, They can be requested. Certainly will be seen by the state set-aside committee and those who attend meetings. And you just have to know that going in.
Let me ask a question at that point. I think we've done that briefly before. Does anyone here think that making that information open to public inspection, will that have any kind of a chilling effect on individuals or firms or private nonprofits making proposals for set-aside? In other words, if part of your business is carved out to be set-aside business, but you have to disclose information that could relate to your for-profit business that's not the disabled activity, could that be a problem?
I would say it certainly can. I mean, we participate, you know, there's several of us in the room who participate in the Ability One program. It's always been a sticking point of having to divulge all your costs. But it's not public. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, it's between us, the contracting officer, for others at Source America. For me, it's National Industries for the Blind. So there are parties who, you know, get some very, very detailed analysis of what our costs are. But it's typically not open to anyone else that's bidding on the contract. So, and even that is, you know, why do we have to divulge so much about our costs? In the Ability One program, you get complaints about that. The whole purpose of this was try to make sure that the set-aside program is taking into account all the things associated with producing the product or providing the service, and giving the committee some level of assurance that they can perform at the price they're asking for, and because we don't want to get into a situation where a contract is provided to a set-aside, they've inadvertently or because they forgot something are now losing money. And so it all plays together with setting the price, trying to protect the organizations that's applying for the set-aside, and giving the committee some level of assurance that this is a well-thought-out program. In the state set-aside research that I've done, everybody has it. Everybody, it's required of the states that are running what I would say the high level. You know, we've looked at Florida, Texas, and New York, and we kind of use those as our models, and they're all required there. I don't know how to answer that. I would say, yeah, it could be a concern, but if you want it, we're in a situation where we tend not to bid against each other, and so, you know, putting your costs out there. So if Manny has a new service he wants to offer, and there are three other agencies in the room that are, you know, five or six, you know, they don't have the capability to do that, so it's not bidding against anyone. And again, if you have something on set aside, it's not in a competitive bid situation anyway, because it doesn't require a competitive bid. I think going back to the way we were doing it, you know, I think there's a more formal approach. I think it gives us more information about the contract. I think it covers the issue of is it going to be 60% direct labor. There is the downside of exposure. So I that's the only thing I see as a downside, and I don't know that it really affects any of us all that much. I guess I'd ask for other guys.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah. You know, I understand the necessity of it. I think one of the biggest reasons for it, since it is not a competitive environment, is that you have to be ensured that the cost is fairly derived. And it's a reasonable cost besides. So I think from that standpoint, it's one of those things you have to do, and to take care of it. You know, you do hear about it in the Ability One program, people are, you know, why we have to disclose all this and everything else, but, you know, in the end, you know, you are getting a contract that is, quote, set aside for you. You basically have it for, you know, 5 years, unless you mess up. So I think it's only fair to divulge. It's more transparent.
I think the issue, you know, the key is it's not competitive, but if it ever were to be, have that option, being competitive, like office supplies or things like that, that aren't just, you know, things that fall under us, our type of organization, but are out there for Staples, you might have issues for competitiveness. And so, or if it came offline in 5 years and some of these other organizations were out there kind of monitoring what was going on and waiting for that 5-year term to expire, they could come in and be based on the information that's available to them, take those lines of business or, you know, become a lot more competitive. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, competitive pricing is competitive at that point in time.
Sure.
So it does create, I think, somewhat of an unfair advantage, and, you know, maybe not immediately, but it could turn into that for
You're exactly correct. Or them giving you the price and they get the contract, and a year later, mm-hmm. they're going way above what might have been competed out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're still saying that it's a set-aside contract, so we accept it.
You have to worry about the perception. You know,
you've got
a non-competitive and the public perception of that looks terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's going to be open, I think.
Yeah.
So in other words,
there's no transparency.
The transparency of this actually helps that.
Right.
Am I correct? Yeah. I think one other point that I think is really important is that sometimes our costs are just a little bit higher. And so when we go to measure fair market value or a fair market price, you know, there's low, there's the high, and you're trying to fall somewhere in between. We certainly, none of us probably ever get close to the low, but we don't want to exceed the high if we can. But it does help the committee see why it's being slotted at 20,
exactly.
You know, 10% below the high price, which you were hoping to get a better deal, but the costs do justify the price being slotted there. And so I think in some cases it does work to our advantage,
yep.
to have those things exposed. So it's just, it's one of those that you could look at it 6 of 1, 6 of 2 of another. I mean, you really could. And I actually think because we're a public entity, the transparency, and as you guys have mentioned, is probably a really, really good, strong point for us to expose.
Well, just what occurs to me is that we've been talking about why it's a good thing, and I agree with everything you've been saying. But what about the case that we aren't thinking about right now, where an individual firm might be inclined to put forth a set-aside proposal, but for this provision and could show a good cause reason for not disclosing some of the information? Do we need to have if the committee agrees that certain information does not have to be made subject to public inspection, should we even think about doing? I don't know. You all say no. I'm just raising the issue.
I think you got a point. There could be an exception at some point.
Like the 60% is a good thing to convey because it does underline the fact that this is a set aside and why it's a set aside.
Right.
So that really helps the cause if anybody questions the secrecy or whatever, the information that isn't shared. This is a state set aside benefiting people with whatever. So there might be something to having a combination of full disclosure, but.
Yeah, if the committee could be shown for good cause, you know, this is going to prevent me from making a proposal, and because it's a trade secret or something, or whatever it might be, a proprietary kind of thing. know, maybe we should think about including just a minor exception type clause. Not that it would be used all the time, that's not the intent here, but I don't mean fashion, so.
Yeah, I would say maybe we could just write something in here, but I would not want to set the precedent of everybody then says their information's proprietary and I don't want to divulge. I want to know that you're paying your people above minimum wage, and if you're not, that you have a certification not to, and why, and so on and so forth. I think it's important for us to know what's going on and what we're signing. I think we have to remember we're spending, this committee, by assigning a set of contract, is spending taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And that questions come up, we want to be able to answer those questions. For me, I would say exceptions would be handled on a case-by-case basis.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know what kind of a sentence to put in there that says, an agency may request a meeting with a set-aside committee in order to talk about unusual circumstances in completing these forms,
yeah.
And leave it at that. You know, just something very small and brief.
I guess I was thinking the forms would always still be completed. It's just that they wouldn't be shared necessarily with the general public. That was the only thing I was thinking.
Well, what I got from Barbara at the last meeting, she kind of
said it's public.
Hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, I know.
When I talked about confidentiality and said, no, this is a public meeting,
public.
And everything here needs to be shared. So I don't know that you can have it both ways. And that's where I would say I don't think you can do that.
Well,
you'd have to come to the committee with a request for, I can't do this part. We think it's reasonable. We understand your reasoning. And we say, okay, then provide what you can, and we'll review it.
Well, maybe just trying to
You're doing
move forward.
A good
the,
job of creating discussion.
It's my job.
That's right.
Well, sensing the will of the committee here, I think maybe we should move forward without that language in the document at this point, but in reporting to the full committee, say we discussed the possibility of including some sort of exception language,
mm-hmm.
But didn't come to any conclusion as to what would be appropriate, if anything. And just say, hey, we talked about it. What does the full committee think? And just kind of punt.
It's probably a good idea.
You get Barbara's reaction to it.
Yeah. Unless you have any other thoughts how to do that. But the
only thing that comes to mind for me is if, like in our situation, we have the document destruction and all the other lines that come with that. So it's not an issue because it's a mandatory set-aside agreement. However, in the ones that aren't, like the office supply type ones or anything like that, I just wonder if we have to disclose what we do in that market, it's then considered a set-aside contract. Is the same requirement put on others to do the same thing since they are technically bidding on something that's eligible for set-aside?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know the answer to that.
can you repeat that?
I don't follow that.
You're talking about a proposal to a regular
like Staples, if they're
bidding. Yeah,
because it was competitively bid, though.
Yeah.
In that case,
mm-hmm.
set-aside, it's coming
so
before the committee.
Right. So in that same example, and I'm probably muddying the water more than I need to, but in that same example, is it competitive if they're competing against set-aside providers and they know all the information they need to know to win that business? It's no longer competitive now for the set-aside portion.
I think I understand what you're saying. I'll use document imaging because we have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came to the committee, what was required at the time is we had to go out and do mm-hmm. some market research and provide to the committee numbers for the major competitors in the area that do document imaging. So we went to ICM and a couple of other yeah. companies. By the way, ICM has a state contract, and their pricing is known by me. Because I can go into the state contract that's open and I can look at all the pricing.
Okay.
So I had the advantage, and I was late to the table. They were there first, and a couple of other companies. I had the advantage of going in and looking at their pricing before I proposed a non-mandatory contract to the state set-aside committee. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, proposals that are in a competitive, they're open for inspection as well.
It's public information.
So all their...
Well, the pricing is, but the costs are not made public.
The costs, but you can, you...
Well, you don't have to...
Don't take me long to figure out what your target margin might be and figure out what your costs are.
They do, but they don't have to do it.
Yeah, they don't have to do an analysis of your costs. You just, you've got your competitively...
Pricing.
But you are correct. You just get the price.
Right.
But it is information that's added to you when you make your proposal. And the fact of the matter is, our pricing came in above theirs. But it was still approved because it seemed fair and reasonable to the committee. And we're not much of a threat to their organizations.
Right.
With their pricing.
Right, and I personally, you know, from our organization, don't have a huge issue with it at this point because it just doesn't apply. But, you know, it could someday, or, you know, and then just looking out for the other vendors that it may apply to now or in the future.
It's kind of like the Public Information Act. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at it as there's a lot of things that go on in government that we all do, and the public could request information on it. Rarely happens. Mm-hmm. Just know that. It rarely happens. So... I don't think...
Unless you're at DES.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. So...
What was it? We just had a request for how we did a BEP bid.
Public records request.
Yeah. How we ended up with Cold Stone Creamery products in the basement of the cabinet. Give that a break. had nothing to do with the governor-elect. Give me a break. Okay. That was off the record. Okay. So,
so Jim, I don't know if I could verbalize this one. So when we get to the committee meeting, you'll take the lead on verbalizing that one, or?
Tom will.
Okay, Tom. Okay, I'll.
Okay.
We all need to remember the discussion because it's got a lot of sides to that issue.
Right. Yeah. Right. And as you pointed out earlier, my job is to make this a difficult process, not an easy one.
That's right. So,
no, but we want to be thorough in talking about all sides of this, just to make sure that we're...
I agree. I agree.
Moving forward.
So that was the major change on the two, whether it be the product cost or the service cost. And then I sent you all... not all in the room, but I think all who are on the subcommittee, a copy, electronic copy of the analysis worksheet. And so I would say that what I would ask you to do before we formalize this or put it up anywhere is it probably needs a little bit more cleanup. I see that when you print the pages, the page number blocks over something else and little things like that. But these are on two separate tabs. So you have the definitions on one tab, you have the actual worksheet on the next tab. Try to put some stuff in there and see if it works and see if the spreadsheet is working the way it's supposed to. You know, I did a few examples on my own and it seemed like the spreadsheet was working okay, but you know, as you guys look at some of the stuff that you have, you might come up with, well, what about this? And I don't have it covered in there. So I would just encourage people. I mean, we can go ahead and put this up for recommendation to be approved, but I just want to make sure it's working properly and people are trying to break it before it goes into effect.
That's good, and I would think that ultimately ADOA is going to be responsible for the documents.
Yes.
Anyway, so they may reconfigure, reformat, or do whatever they feel they need to do, spacing-wise.
Yeah, again, I think we have enough here as a subcommittee, and this is, again, going back to what I stated earlier, that we have enough here to give to ADOA and say, hey, this is what we want on the website, And it'll be up to the administrator of the program to make sure things are formatted properly and working correctly.
Sure. Absolutely. Does anyone object to moving? Yeah, that's you, Benny. Does anyone? No, fortunately. She'll get it done. Does anyone object to moving these documents forward to the full committee? All right. Very good. Anything else in that regard?
No, that pretty much covers, you know, the things that we.
Future agenda items for the subcommittee. Do we want to talk about that now? Are there any ideas that you or anyone else would have for future agenda items, or should we wait and see how things do at the full committee? Are there other things that?
It's a really good question.
Well, are there other items that we want to keep on the front burner just for future discussion? There were some other items in the Texas.
There are other items. You know, it depends on, you know, I think at one point we said, you know, we don't want to be on this committee forever. And one of the recommendations that Steve and I made is that the Department of Administration consider in their budget having a full-time person support the state set aside, okay, rather than you guys that are part-time and have a whole bunch of other stuff to do. If you look at, you know, a very robust, full-scale set-aside program, there's a lot left to do. As I've gotten into this, and we've accomplished four or five things here, and I think they're very important things, but there's many more to go. We haven't defined a purpose yet. We don't really understand what an assignment process is. We don't have, you know, the website completed yet. There are more procedural things that if you wanted to really shore this thing up and get it functioning and working at a little bit higher level. And then, in addition to that, we've never, and I don't think it's the subcommittee's responsibility fully on this, we've never really addressed opportunities as I think APAT has put forth, you know, where those come from, how procurement officers view the set-aside program and how we can be made aware and how we can go out and get more opportunities. So we've not addressed that piece as well. So when I look at this, I mean, this can be a lifetime job, this subcommittee. And I certainly didn't join it to be on it for the next, you know, I'm not going to be around it, you know, for the next 15 years, but a 15-year committee is not going to work real well. So I think at this point, I'm almost saying a recommendation has to be made because we've been here and we've taken a peek inside the room and we've decided the room's a lot bigger for us to take on than what we really thought we were signing up for here. But it all depends on what the full committee really wanted to be accomplished here. And I thought it was to better define the state set-aside program definitions, procedures, processes that will ultimately lead to more opportunities for employment with people with disabilities.
Exactly. And I think this group and you in particular have done a terrific job in moving toward that. I guess the question is what, you know, you say there are a lot of other things to be done. Would it be worth reporting out to the full committee?
Yeah.
Here are some things that we feel the committee should be thinking about going forward. And here's a list of the top 10 or, you know, the next 25 or whatever you think. And what do you think those would be? Maybe we should talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, when we met early on, because we've been at this for about a year and a half now. I think it took us about a half year just to get started.
Find the meeting room.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some of the things that we had talked about, we have done. And we talked about defining fair market price. We talked about the cost analysis, which we did. We talked about the 60%, which it seems like we've addressed. We talked about the application, which we did. So we've done a number of things that we said we were going to do. We didn't really talk about what I call the assignment process. Those that are in the Ability One program, you know what I'm talking about. And that is to come to the committee that you're interested in a particular product or service. And before you go and embark on all the work for a presentation to the committee and really digging into that business, you're sort of getting a head nod from the committee that your proposal sounds reasonable. It's just a verbalization of something that you'd like to go do, and the committee is and there might be a form that has to be filled out, and it would be called a request for an assignment. And then once you get it assigned, you have like a year, let's say, to come forth with a proposal for that particular product or service.
How would that be an enhancement to the process? How would that be a benefit?
The thing that it does is in the Ability One world is it basically you have an exclusive during that period of time. So once you get the product assignment or the service assignment, no one else can infringe on that particular assignment while you're developing it. So it might be three other people in the room that say, "Oh, that's a great idea. I think I want to do that." Well, you have to get an assignment through the committee. The assignment process also takes into account who else does it. So if Steve comes to me and he says, "I want to go into document imaging," well, I'm already in document imaging. The committee has a chance to, is the marketplace big enough for two set asides in document imaging? Have that discussion. Because they have to assign. He's going to request an assignment for something that's already being provided. It may be non-mandatory, like mine is. I'm non-mandatory, but Gompers came in and got a non-mandatory for document imaging as well. You know, I didn't object to it. Didn't feel real good, but I didn't object to it. But it gives the committee a chance to say, I'm not really going to, we already have TCH performing that function. They're doing a good job across the state. To put your set aside along with them is just going to create an environment that we really want to stay away from. Is there anything else you would like to request an assignment on?
How has that provision worked in other jurisdictions?
It's in the Ability One program, it's worked well, I think. You guys can comment. I think it works well. And it helps you target products and services that are new and unique, and or that there's enough of a market out there that you can participate in. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree with that. And there's a big process that we all have to go through just to even be allowed to bid on any of those projects. Because there's affiliated and then there's participating nonprofits that are involved. And to go from affiliated to participating is a little harder than it used to be, I think, nowadays, because there's so many well-rounded organizations that are experienced in a lot of fields that can do that type of work. And so it's for this committee to evaluate organizations, I think, and assign them to and give them the kind of nod would be a good idea, because some folks might get in, or they might want to partner with an experienced organization, especially when you start talking about more of the custodial type work and things like that, because those are big contracts with the state, versus some of the other stuff we're talking about that you can operate out of a home base. The other ones require a lot of assets, vehicles, et cetera, and so it becomes more complex.
And I think one of the things, and I probably misspoke by saying it's verbal, because there would be a form that you have to fill out. One of the things you have to define in that process, who's your customer? Okay. I think many of the times that I've been here and people have come with a proposal, they don't necessarily know who their customer is going to be. When I did document imaging, I didn't know who the customer was going to be. I just, we'll make it available and tell some people in the state about it and hope they come and use the service. And some have, but not on a big scale. And they can get it done cheaper at ICM, and they don't have to come to us. And ICM offers a broader, a broader service deal. It's hard to compete with them. The point being, who's your customer? And the Ability One program requires you to define your customer. at least on the national industries for the blind side. I'm not trying to make it too difficult, but at the same time, wouldn't you rather know upfront where the committee stands rather than, okay, let's go after this, I'm going to invest a lot of time and research and staff, and maybe I'm even going to start producing some, and then I'm going to go to a committee and see if I can get approval, and then boom, you don't get the approval. So I think it helps formalize the program a little bit more. It creates a pipeline of activity.
But even if you get an assignment, it doesn't guarantee approval down the road.
That's correct. That is correct. You have to, you know, in the assignment process, and I know I'm, you know, we haven't done this before, so I know I'm speaking, this is all new stuff. The committee should be looking, there are certain criteria that they look for. Do you have the capability? Okay, this is going to require 30 more people in your organization. Can you ramp up and do that? Where are you going to find it? Oh, it's going to require an investment of about $200,000 for equipment. Oh, and you're going to need some additional space. You're asking questions in the assignment process to determine up front, do they have the capability, you know, capacity, just general things, not looking for real specifics.
Would you have to have an assignment to submit a proposal?
Yes. Typically, you would. Okay. But we don't, again, these are things, I don't know that we need to get that formal. Maybe we don't.
Well, maybe that's one of the items on the list of future topics.
Discussion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not going to make a recommendation on that today. I think we should include that on the list for topics to review going forward.
Well, if you wanted me to kind of put together a list for the meeting, I can. I wasn't prepared for that discussion,
yeah.
But there are other things.
Fine. Yeah, maybe.
There are the things.
Key things would be worth thinking about.
You know, I don't think we've really addressed the training aspect of this, which is an important one. So I would say training is on the list. And there needs to be a formal process for that. If a new set-aside comes on, they get trained in all this and how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we need to know how it works.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to work on, right?
Right.
And the training process from the other side, from the purchasing agents and across the state know how to use the process.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, and I've heard ADOA say that
We're coming up with something that will eventually be going around to the different agencies and training.
Right.
And I just think it's just the perfect timing right now for all of that
to
go hand in hand.
Right. Let me see what else. I would take that on. You know, we've done a lot of the things that we set out to do. You know, we've accomplished something here.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think there's more. So let me do some research on that, and maybe you can just let me say something at the committee meeting.
The person you're talking about, the staff that would work, you know, directly with the set-aside, would that also be someone that would work on verifying the applications to be a participant, or how would that be managed to verify that people are actually doing the 60%? Or, you know, is there a take your word for it, or is there actually going to be an audit?
No, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. This language leads to then, mm-hmm. Okay, now how do you, what kind of reporting?
This is the checklist.
So there's a new reporting requirement, not to make it burdensome, cumbersome, but still a reporting requirement on our quarterly reports that adds a couple of columns or fields or whatever. Excuse me. And basically does verification that way. Now, if you had the person working, I think every couple of years on open contracts, they go visit Steve and they go visit PCH and they come and visit me or others. How's it going? Let me see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Can you show me? You know, I think you can go deep as you want to, or you know, I'm not trying to suggest, but the more formal, more professional, more processes defined, I think eventually leads to more opportunities. I do, but
and it also solidifies the legitimacy of what we're trying to do by having someone that works on it that will make sure that these things are happening. And it's not a lot of work we're doing now that's going to get shelved or, you know.
Well, you look how long it's taken us. It took us 6 months just to figure out, you know, who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And then the next year we've done maybe five or six things.
Yeah.
We all have day jobs. And that's the problem with this subcommittee process. It's a great idea, but again, I, with some other things left to do, I can see this going on for another 2 or 3 years. And that's why the recommendation of a full-time staff member, given that the statute says ADOA is supposed to administer the program, supply some money to go with that. And if you're really committed to people with disabilities, I don't think most people in the state or in the legislature would have a problem with it. I don't know. That part I don't know.
It's just going to be bad.
Yeah.
All in favor?
I'd love to. Not a problem.
But can we, you know, Steve and I sort of made an informal recommendation at the bottom of those definitions to be considered. And I don't know. Do we make a formal recommendation out of the subcommittee that, look, here are the things that we think are left, talking about the discussion we'll have in the January meeting. Here are the things that we think are left to be done. And then coming to a conclusion that says, this is bigger than the subcommittee has time for and maybe their expertise. And could we seriously consider or make a recommendation that ADOA, you know, assign a staff member to an appropriate, qualified, you know, would have to go through, we'd want them to have experience in these areas if possible. Put them on staff and they're there to do this. I think you'd see a big bump forward in this program, its visibility, and thereby, I think more opportunities for people with disabilities as a result of it.
Well, I think that would be a good thing to recommend in whatever language you want to put together, but make that one of however many items for further consideration.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get that list out to us soon?
I know
you don't have anything else to do.
Right. Right.
So.
Okay. I would say with
just so we can look at it before the full committee meeting on the 14th of
14th.
January.
14th.
So. Maybe by the end of the year or a couple weeks. I should be able to do it in a couple weeks.
Okay. All right. And if you all can send any comments back to Dick, that would be great. Hand out a list or just read off a list however you want to handle it.
Okay.
That'd be great.
And again, I just want everyone to understand, everybody in the room, this is not my project, okay? I guess I'm speaking a lot, having the experience in the Ability One program like Manny, like Steve, all this is modeled after that, plus the research that I personally did on Florida, New York, and Texas. And so I'm not pushing it for me. I'm not pushing it for my organization. We don't do a lot of things that the state of Arizona utilizes in the services that we provide. I'm trying to look at it from the standpoint of trying to create more opportunities. If I really look at the numbers, and again, I've said this a long time, the definition of the people who get reported on state set-aside as contracts and dollars, there's a significant amount of dollars that should not be on there. I've said that a bunch of times. The truth of the matter is there aren't very many people being employed through the state use program in the state of Arizona. And I think it's disappointing, and it needs to get better and a whole lot better.
Well, let's see if we can move it in that direction.
Yeah. And
faster,
that's. So. I just want everybody to understand. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I don't have anything to immediately gain by this process.
Right.
So.
I think we're all here.
Yeah, we're all here for the good of the cause.
The same good purpose. So. Next item, if we may jump ahead to item 5, committee comments and suggestions. Does anyone else have?
Just the one what Dick was saying. SUPRA, which is a national organization of state set-aside providers, is going to be having their national conference in Scottsdale. And I believe it's 14, 15, and 16 of January. You know, it'd be a good idea for, you know, people that, you know, maybe we could ask Barbara or somebody from the state office, maybe to attend, to see what other states are doing, and to get some other insight, and maybe we can learn from that. And of course, any people on this committee would have a good idea to attend.
Do you have to be a member to attend?
You know, I don't know that for a fact. I don't know that answer.
I don't remember if they had member, non-member registration or not on that.
But I can find out, I guess, Dick. I can call Deb.
Have you been to it before?
I have been to it before, but it's been a while.
And do they have, what's the format? Is a lot of side sessions?
A lot of side sessions, what different states are doing. Probably networking and talking to people is as important as anything, how they do it in their state. You know, you have the New Yorks there, you do have the Texas people there, you do have people from Florida, Indiana, Wisconsin. I mean, they're from all over the country.
Right.
You know? And a lot of them tend to be the actual ones running the programs in our states. Now, some states have a state person actually running the program. Other states have a, you know.
So it's basically a forum.
Private person.
Is the purpose just to go and exchange ideas of
and education type things, training. Mm-hmm. And you get a good idea what the variety of things that are being done across the country in state set aside programs.
Yeah,
I mean it's amazing what some places are doing.
Can well, you I know.
Send us go that ahead. Info on it.
I will send info. Yes, I can. I can do that.
Okay.
Can you share it with not just the subcommittee, but the full committee? I think.
I'll give it to you guys.
Send it to me, and I can send it out to everyone.
Okay, that'd be great.
Just on along those lines, just a note. Really interesting thing in Wisconsin. They passed a law that allows you to get a tax credit for the first $500,000 worth of business with a set aside for a private business. So if a private business wanted to do something that you did, they get a tax credit, some kind of a tax credit, I don't know exactly what it is, for the first $500,000 worth of business. So there's a state that
that
really supports, trying to support people with disabilities by passing a law like that, as well as they have a state use law. So those are the kind of things that I think, you know, Arizona needs to evolve into.
Well, maybe you should put that on things to think about in the future list.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Okay, anyone else? Committee comments? Suggestions? Then we'll do the call to the public. Hello, public. Yes, sir.
I have a few brief comments. Doug Arnett, Quality Connection. On the discussion of the cost analysis, there was a lot of discussion about keeping costs, disclosing costs, and if there would be any potential concerns to that. And I just wanted to share one. As a vendor of office supplies, when I negotiate special costs with my suppliers, I often have to sign a confidentiality agreement and agree not to disclose my costs. And I think that's important for competition so that my competition doesn't become aware of what my costs are and perhaps find a competitive advantage. And there may be others. On the issue of disclosing salaries and those kind of things as nonprofits, I don't think that would create any issues. But I think this issue could be solved with a simple, at the discretion of the committee language to leave it open for special circumstances such as that. And then my other comment was just about the changes to the website. I just wanted to make a suggestion that the website potentially become a resource both for potential set-aside contractors, but also a resource for purchasers with the state and the co-op, and could take a two-part organizational system that way. One, organizing everything for the potential contractors, and then secondly, listing all the available set-asides
that's
and details about it. Yeah. And then finally, I just wanted to thank the committee and the subcommittee for the valuable work you're doing and for keeping it focused on the intent of creating more opportunities for people with disabilities.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments.
Anyone else? Comments? Yes?
Brandy Patron with Goodman Schwartz Public Affairs on behalf of ACAD. As the committee is considering recommendations to the full committee for suggestions on moving forward, I think Dick had this in his list, but my view of this committee has been largely administrative and trying to get the program moving in the right direction and getting some of those administrative things done that had not been completed. And my recommendation would be to recommend to the full committee that we then really start looking at, now, how do we move the program forward and really hit the goal that's in statute of endeavoring to set aside 1%? So how do we do that? I know APAD has largely talked about education and training, not only for the providers, but also for the procurement officers. And so we'd hope that this committee would come look at that recommendation for the full committee to take a look at in moving forward, because in my eyes, that's sort of the next step. And then the other piece of it, we talked about at the last full committee, was the quarterly reports. I know the suggestion had been made to separate out the information, and that had been done, but I still heard at the full committee concerns that the information on the quarterly reports was not accurate. And so another suggestion would be to recommend to the full committee that that still be looked at, and that we work on making that quarterly report accurate and really reflect who's being employed and who's really doing a set-aside contract. Thank you.
Okay. Without objection, why don't we include that? I think that's a good idea.
Yep.
Anyone else? I guess that's it. Anybody on it? Any other committee comments? Anybody? I guess technically we need a motion to adjourn. Move.
Second.
Seconded. Okay. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Ordered. We stand adjourned at 4:15. And we've got a run, so you all take care.
Yes, I've got to jet back over there right now.